Number 30. It's been good to get away. Like you just heard, we've enjoyed some time of seclusion, pulling away from the world and all the temptations that are out there. And in this passage of scripture, in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, David has been living in the land of the Philistines. Now, whether he should have been there or not, when he went there, I don't ever see him asking God what he should do. And he's always asking God what I should do, what I should do. But he didn't in this case. He ends up in the land of the Philistines. And through the tragedy that we're going to read about in 1 Samuel chapter 30, from that point on, he starts talking to God again about what he should do. And but he's there. He's in the land of the Philistines. He is, if you know the story, King Saul was trying to kill him. Every time they were in a room together, he tried to throw a javelin through him. So I take that as a hint. Probably don't want to be around him that much. But he's running from King Saul in a cave, in a field, all over Israel. He's chasing David. And David then goes to the land of the Philistines. And when he goes there, there's the king of the Philistines, whose name is Achish. And Achish, David just proves to be very loyal. David and the men that were with him, they almost become King Achish's right-hand man, kind of his protector. And that's fine, as long as they were fighting all the other enemies, but now they're about to fight Israel. And it's interesting that when they begin, they're going to fight Israel, that David seemingly is ready to go with him. I don't know what he would have done, but I'm just reading the scriptures. Look back in chapter 29 so you can all at least see what I'm talking about, right? In verse number 6 of chapter 29, it says, "Then Achish called David and said unto him, Surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright by going out, by coming in with me, in the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not." See, when it was time to go fight Israel, all the lords, the princes of the Philistines, they came to King Achish and said, let's not bring David. David, King Achish is like, well, he's been loyal to me. There's no problems. And they were like, no, we know what's going to happen. We're going to start fighting Israel and King Saul. And David, to earn favor back with King Saul, is going to turn on us. And we're not going to take that chance. David can't go. So Achish is telling David he can't go. Verse number 7, "Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines." This is where David, you know, we'll just read it. Verse number 8, "David said unto Achish, But what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" And Achish answered and said to David, "I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, He shall not go up with us to the battle. Wherefore now rise up early in the morning, and thy master's servants and that are with thee, as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart." So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning. So they go back home. They didn't go with King Achish. He's heading back home. Now, back home where they were living at that time was the city of Ziklag. Ziklag, for where they were at with King Achish, Ziklag would be about 75 miles. We notice in chapter number 30 and in verse number 1, it says, "It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day." So, little geography and a little great Christian school math that I got growing up, right? That means they traveled about 25 miles a day. So with a group of 600, they're moving, all right? Not easy because they're carrying all their stuff, heading down through there, 25 miles a day. They finally start to approach Ziklag. When they do, things are not what they expected. Let's keep reading there. We'll start in verse number 2 of chapter 30. Well, we'll go back to verse number 1. "Came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They come back home. When he comes back home, you no doubt, I recently, and I told you I've been on a few trips lately, and most recently it's been from March until presently. March. I want you, since March, I've traveled 10,000 miles. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. I've been to Scotland, I've been to out west, I've been to Florida, I've been just, it's just all ministry stuff, except for last week. I took a week off, and I went, my in-laws own a little bitty 900-square-foot little trailer in the middle of nowhere in Florida, and I went there and sat and did nothing for 4 days but hold my granddaughter. It was a great vacation. In any case, there's nothing like getting back home. When I was traveling back home last week, I was driving down the highway, and I'd started down there just northeast of Tampa, Florida. It's a straight shot up Interstate 75, just driving, driving, driving. Finally, in northern Kentucky, I see this sign that says 275 Cincinnati. I was like, oh yeah, almost there. I got on that road, came to a bridge, crosses the Ohio River, and it says, welcome to Ohio. My daughter in the back seat said, yay. She was so tired. We crossed the river. Then we got off the highway, and it said Milford, Blanchester. Oh, that's where I live, Blanchester. Took that exit, 17.8 miles from that point to my home. Entered my little town that I live in, which isn't much. Entered that little town, past the one restaurant we have. We do have a McDonald's. Past that McDonald's, turned right, crossed the railroad tracks. I'm on my road. Oh, yeah. I come up, I pull in my little gravel driveway. There's my blessed home. Yay! I get out, I carry my stuff in. Oh, there's my recliner. Oh, yeah. I sit a while, take a shower before I go to bed. My shower. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
My shower. And then I lay down in my bed. Oh! And I lay my head on my pillow, right? Some of you have a lot to look forward to tonight, all right? That's great, all right? Heading home. Well, David and his men, they're traveling home. And whatever, I don't know all the topography and things, but they know they're getting close at some point. Probably they reach at some point, they know that, when they see in the distance, those kids of theirs are going to run out to them, Daddy's home! There's going to be a wife standing down there waving, welcome home. Maybe the smell of fresh bread in the air. But as they get close, there's no kids. There's no wives. There is smoke going up, but it's not oven smoke. It's black, dark, destructive smoke. And they stop and they look at their home and it's gone. The Amalekites had come in, they destroyed it, they burned it with fire to the ground. Their wives were gone. Their kids were gone. Everything they owned, everything they had was gone. And the Bible says that David and his men, they sat down right in the middle of all that and they started crying. And they wept literally until they could weep no more. Everything was gone. See, why are we reading this story? We've gone through a little journey this week, but you're going home today. When you go home, understand the devil's going to try to take away what's happened this week. When you go home, as one of the testimonies last night, and I appreciated all those testimonies, but the devil's going to try to get you to slip up again. There's going to be somebody waiting to try to pull you away from this sweet walk with God. The enemy's going to be there. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because sometimes when you come home, I was talking to last year's speaker, Brother Andy Sturm. He spoke here last year. And he's a friend of mine. And I called him last week when I was driving home. I was somewhere in the middle of Kentucky. And we were chatting as I was driving down the road. And he said, "I'm praying for your safety the rest of your trip." I said, "Thank you, my friend." He goes, "Then I'm praying for you because I don't know what bad news is waiting for you, but it is always waiting for you when you come back as a pastor from a trip." And we laughed. And then I hung up and said, "He's right." And he was right. You know, it's always there, right? And sometimes when you go home, it's rough. David and his men, when they went home, things were not what they wanted. So they're weeping. We left off reading there. David and his men, they're weeping till they had no more power to weep. Verse number 5, and David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David sat there and he's weeping. All his men are weeping. Then he hears some of his men over there saying, "This is David's fault. If we wouldn't have been here, this wouldn't have happened to our families." One of them, no doubt, picks up a stone and says, "Maybe we should handle this ourselves." David's greatly distressed. He's overwhelmed. But then the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. When you go home, I can promise you this. I hope everything is just perfect when you go home. I hope you have no problems. I hope everyone is just encouraging and everyone's just like, "Yes, let's continue and have revival." I hope that's what the case is. But I guarantee you, as time goes on, the enemy's going to fight you. And you are going to face some rough things. You're going to have friends that are going to betray you. You're going to have people who are going to let you down. Even sadly, I hate it, but the problem would be even some authorities that they let you down. You're going to go through heartaches, and I understand those. You're going to go through things that you don't want to go, and you are going to have to learn. All right, I hope that all of you are like, "I'm walking with God, got some things settled, heard some great testimonies last night. I want the power of God in my life, and we're going home charged up." Yes. But what do? When you find out some things are not working out like you wanted, and you face tragedy, I want to teach you real quick, you need to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. Now, I just thought, you know, there's no like directions and a lot of information here what David did, but then you start putting some pieces together. And I want to encourage you, this is what I jotted down, this is what I actually just, while I was on vacation, I studied this passage of Scripture. So I'm sharing it with you. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I was sitting there and I thought about that. And the first thing I wrote down was this. How did he do this? Number one, he reminded himself of God's love. Because David was a man like I am, and I'm definitely not comparing myself to who he is, but we're all people. And I believe he reminded himself of God's love, because you read the previous passage, he's not talking to God a lot. He's just kind of doing his own thing, taking matters in his own hand. But this is what gripped me as I was sitting there studying this and thinking, how did David encourage himself in the Lord? And I wrote down he encouraged himself because he reminded himself of God's love in this, that when he got back to Achish, Ziklag, everything was gone, destroyed. When we just read it in chapter 29, when King Achish said, "You're not going with me," David's like, "Why not?" I mean, that was his answer. He seemingly was ready to go. That's all I can tell you. It's what I just read, all right? But King Achish told him no. And that might have hurt a little bit, might have stung a little bit. But everybody catch this. This is what God just kind of like, think about this, Travis, last week. It had to cross David's mind that if he would have went with King Achish, he would have never seen his family again. Never. David didn't realize it, but even when David got some answers and some situations in life and circumstances in life that maybe upset him and he didn't understand it, why is this happening? I've been good. Why is this going on? What he didn't understand at that time, which I think he came to realize, is that God was working on his behalf. And God wouldn't allow David to go with Achish for many reasons, but one of them is this: David needed to get back home. David didn't know he needed to get back home, but God was watching over David. And there are going to be things in your life that at first you're going to be like, why is this happening to me? God knows what he's doing. I could tell you story after story after story in my life of things that I went through. I didn't want to go through it. I didn't like going through it. But looking back, I see what God was doing. Sometimes God's only going to allow trials in our life because it builds our faith. It helps us to lean on him more. It teaches us lessons that will help us in the future and be able to help others also. But David was told no, and it probably stung at first, but he's sitting there, why is this happening? And then he reminded himself, thank you, God. Because if I'd have been gone, I'd never see my family again. Listen, I'm going to say it again. I know it's been a theme this week. God loves you. He's watching over you. And just because something doesn't go the way you dreamed it would, doesn't mean God's still not working in your life. Amen. Trust him. Amen. He knows what he's doing. But he reminded himself, I wrote down number one, he reminded himself of God's love. Number two, he may have reminded himself of God's promise. God had promised that David was to be what? King. Of where? Israel. He's sitting there, no doubt, holding his head. Why is all this going on? And he starts encouraging himself in the Lord. Thank you, God. I still got time. The smoke's still ascending. It's not too late. I can chase them. I'll find them if you want me to. And what am I doing sitting here? This is not where I'm supposed to be. And David needed to get back where he needed to be. It's possible, young people, listen to me. This is crazy, what I'm about to tell you. You may be pumped up, on fire, got some zeal. Man, that's so good to be right with God. And you could slip before you get home tonight. It doesn't take much. The enemy's always out there. So who's the enemy? The devil, the world. But the one you need to fear the most is your flesh. People all the time are like, the devil made me do it. Nope. If you're saved, devil can't make you do anything. Well, the world, nope. Let's be honest. Our flesh is what gets us into all of our problems, all right? You need to remind yourself if you do slip. And the fact is this, I hope, it's my prayer I don't ever slip. It's my prayer you don't ever slip. But let's just be real. We do. But when you do, remind yourself of God's love. Remember everything we talked about this week. He's meek and lowly. He loves you. He wants to work. He'll forgive you. And the power of God can be yours again. All right? Remember those things. Remember his love. And remember his promises. Every promise in that book that you're holding in your hand is true. And it's true for you. And if you stray away from God, God says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. You can get right with God. If you make a mistake, you can get right with God and other people. If you begin to look at things or say things or go places, look, God forbid, but if you do, stop. Remember his love. Remember his promises. God's not going to throw you away. He loves you. You say, how do you know there's still an opportunity? Are you breathing? Then you can get right with God. Amen. All right? You're right with him. He reminded himself of God's love. He reminded himself of God's promises. I should be the king. What am I doing here? And he's going to quickly get out of after this is all done. And then he reminded himself, no doubt, as you can't help but think this, that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He looked back and reminded himself of all the times that God had delivered him. David had been in bad places before. Remember when he's a kid and a bear comes and tries to take his sheep? Again, I said, I'm like David. I'm not like David in this way. If my dog in the backyard, if a bear comes and wants to eat the dog, I may try to shoot the bear from my window, but I'm not going to go wrestle the bear, right? I'll get another dog, right? I'm sorry, all right? I'm sorry, like, seriously? You would go wrestle a bear for your dog? Liars. All right. Oh, there's a lion there. David went out there, grabbed it by the mane, slew a lion with his bare hands. But it wasn't him. Remember what he said when he was going to face Goliath? God delivered them into my hand. And when he fought Goliath, he said, this day God will deliver you into my hands. David had faced a lot of battles and a lot of bad situations, but God had delivered him time and time and time and time again. I look back at my life, and if the Lord doesn't come back, and I prayerfully have lots more years left, I'm going to face some trials. I've gone through some hard ones when my sister died. That was a hard trial because I didn't see that coming. But God was good. His grace is real. We mourn, but then we realize if there's one thing my sister in heaven is doing right now, if she has any idea of what would be going on in my life, she would say, preach! Enjoy! Live for God! She wouldn't want me sitting around the corner crying all day. Right. Go on! Because it's worth it. Yeah. I faced a trial a few years ago. One of the darkest times of our life, my wife went through a very difficult time. It was just some spiritual warfare. And we ended up going and seeing some different people and some pastors. I stepped away. My church is so gracious. I love them. They said, take whatever time you need. It was hard, a lot of tears, but God did a great work. I look back, I don't want to do it again, but I'm thankful for it, because God showed me, and that's opened the door for a lot of different things and got me studying different things, and it helped me, it helped our family, it helped our church, it's helped other people. Look back. When you get down, David would write later in one of the Psalms, I think it's 46, that he would write that he was down and he cries out to God, and I look back in the valley, and I look back at the hills, and look back at the mountains, and he said, God, you've been there. Through the good times, the bad times, God's deliverance. And remind yourself that if God did it in the past, he's still the same God and he can do it again. But God's love, God's promises, God's deliverance. But then I love this, and this is just last week. I have been studying the Bible for a long time. And I've never seen this before. As I was studying this passage last week, probably all of you have, and you'd be like, you didn't know that? I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. All right. But look over in 1 Chronicles, all right? And we'll come right back here. But look over in 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. He doesn't mention this here in 1 Samuel. It's not mentioned, but it is later. All right? He reminds himself, to me, I would think of God's love, God's promises, God's deliverance. But look here at 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Look down in verse number 19. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 19. And there fell some of Manasseh to David when he came with the Philistines against Saul to battle, but they helped them not. For the lords of the Philistines, upon advisement, sent him away, saying, he will fall to his master Saul, to the jeopardy of our heads. And as he went to Ziklag, there fell to him Manasseh, Adnah, Jozabad, and Jediel, and Michael, and Jozabad, and Elihu, and Ziltahai. I said this perfectly. Captains of the thousands that were of Manasseh. I don't think David caught it when it was going on, but looking back, when David left King Achish, and they're like, oh, we can't go fight, and we're going back, and they're heading back to Ziklag. That's what it just said, right? Heading back to Ziklag. God sent some reinforcements. These leaders of thousands, these strong men, these warriors, they joined up with David. David's like, who are you? We're coming with you. Okay. You say, what's the big deal? Well, he gets back to Ziklag. The place is burnt down. We'll continue talking about it in a second, but on the way to chasing down the Amalekites, 200 of his men said, "We just can't go any further." I don't think they were weak. I don't think they were wimps. They were winded. And it really was a blessing, and David said, "No, you stay. That's great. You stay here. Matter of fact, all the stuff we're carrying around, we're going to leave it with you. You stay by the stuff," which was important. It lightened their load. They're able to move quicker and to catch up with the Amalekites. And when they came back after total victory, spoiler alert, David wins. All right. And when they come back, all right, some of the men are like, "These guys who didn't go with us aren't getting anything." David said, "Oh, they're getting everything just equally with us because they stayed by the stuff." Mm-hmm. It's important. So David lost some men there, but God sent reinforcements who were ready and strong. Look, I believe David encouraged himself in the Lord because he reminded himself of God's love and God's deliverance, God's promise, but also God's blessings. Sometimes when we're in the battle, we miss them. But I promise you, they're there. And if you're struggling, teenagers, listen, if you ever find yourself struggling, getting down, getting away from the Lord, start praising the Lord. Every day. And I've already encouraged the young men in their devotions to write down something every day they praise the Lord for. Daniel, when he was in the midst of a different land, three times a day, he stopped. Matter of fact, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, when he is going through a really hard trial, he said this, 7 times a day do I praise thee. And you know what he said? "And nothing shall offend me." When we turn our eyes to praise, there have been times when I told you about that time in the darkest time in my family's life that we were going through. I read that passage and I just took it for what it said. And I set on my phone an alarm 7 different times throughout the day. And every time that alarm went off, I stopped what I was doing and I just started praising the Lord. Amen, brother. It encourages your heart. Because we are so blessed. We're so blessed. It's just a lot of times we take things for granted. I mean, what's something in your life that you're blessed with? Just one thing. Something in your life that God's been good to you. One thing. Seriously, anybody? What do you got? Something God's been good to you.
My parents.
Your parents. How about you?
My church.
Your church. Amen. How about you?
A Bible to read.
A Bible to read. Amen. Anybody else? Something you're just thankful for. Yeah.
A good pastor.
A good pastor. Amen.
Good.
Godly friends. What'd you say?
Good friends.
Good friends. Awesome. Yes, ma'am. Amen.
The older men in my life.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
This camp.
Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Siblings. Yes, ma'am.
Grandparents.
Amen. Grandparents encourage you. Yes, ma'am.
My sister.
Your sister. Amen. In the back. Yes.
Family.
We are so blessed. And if we stopped and really took time today, you know, on my list where I praise the Lord, man, I have redemption, justification. I've mentioned those things. I've also mentioned, all right, my wife's cooking. I'm serious. I wrote it down. I've also mentioned, there's this flower. One day I was leaving the grocery store. I can't grow anything. Terrible. I planted a bunch of cucumbers right before I went to Florida. I came back, and I looked out in the backyard, and there was this rabbit just... And I went back there, and the rabbit scampered off. I had no cucumbers. I planted 10 plants. They're gone. I'm going to shoot that rabbit when I get home, right? But, you know, I wrote down one time, you can look at my thankfulness. I thanked the Lord for cucumbers one time. I love cucumbers. There's not a greater vegetable. Is it a vegetable?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, right? It's kind of fruity, but yeah. I love, and not the ones at grocery stores that basically are like rubber coated and you can bend them. And a real cucumber has spikes on it and it hurts to hold it. Yes. Never mind. All right, but you know, you think of all the things that you're blessed with. God's been good to you. When we're down, we never see him. When we're down, we only see our own hurts and our own problems. And it's good. And David, I believe, all of a sudden he said, as he's traveling down there, you know, these other men, we're going to have to stay here. That's fine. But here's these other guys saying, let's go. Amen. I'm with you. Don't miss them. And so David encourages himself in the Lord. And if you find yourself when you get back home and the things are burning down, stop and encourage yourself in the Lord. Now, the story's not over. Let's finish it real quick. David then, he asks the priest, Abiathar, who's with him, and he says, I want to talk to God. I want to get with God. Look down there in our text, back in 1 Samuel 30, verse 7. It says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought him thither the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Verse number 9 in 1 Samuel 30, so David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Bezor, where those that were left behind stayed. So David, the first thing he does was he encourages himself in the Lord. All right? If you ever find yourself beginning to stray, encourage yourself in the Lord. Number 2, he inquired of the Lord. He talked to God. He went, you say, what's the whole ephod thing about? Well, in the ephod would have been the Urim and Thummim. We don't have those things. We have something far greater. You have the Word of God in your hand.
Amen.
And whenever you need counsel, you need, all right, now what do I do? How do I get right? How do I stay right? The Word of God, praise the Lord. It is there for us to know what is right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. And God gives us the Word of God. Get back in the book. If you begin to put aside the Word of God, pick it back up, but get back in the book. David inquired of the Lord. He said, Lord, should I overtake them? Should I pursue them? Am I going to be victorious? And God said, go! You're going to get back everything. That's awesome. And I believe in the next verse, David's like, I'm going. I'm going to go. You know, I don't see David begging anyone to go with him. He just realizes it's time to go. Says, and David went. And as he goes, he looks at the men and he goes, he's obviously encouraged himself in the Lord. I've asked God. God says we're getting everything back. I'm going. And those 600 men went with him. You encourage yourself in the Lord and you inquire of the Lord. Talk to God. Then there's this weird story. As they're going, they're marching, and the one group stays behind because they're winded. They just can't go on. Understand, God's plan for you may not be God's plan for the next person sitting next to you, and that doesn't mean they're not in the will of God. You do what God tells you to do and enables you to do. But as David's going, he meets this kid. And this kid's laying there on the ground. Probably, in my imagination, they walk up to him, they kick him. Is he alive? Kid looks up, ugh. And David, the Bible says, he fed him some cakes, some fig Newtons or something like that. Feeds him. Read it, you'll see it. Right, he feeds him, gives him something to drink. And then after he's back and he's getting some strength back, he says, who are you? I'm an Egyptian. But then he says something that you can imagine. Again, my imagination just kicks in. When I read the Bible, I want to picture it in my head, right? You know, I'm an Egyptian. And probably all these men are like, why are we feeding this little kid? Our wives are down there. But David's the one that fed him, too. He's showing him kindness. And then his kid says, I'm an Egyptian. I'm a slave to the Amalekites. Excuse me. Now, you all don't get that. The Amalekites are the one that destroyed their city and took their families. He said, I'm a slave to the Amalekites. I can see all those men going, whoa, what did you say? And then the young man says something very interesting. He says, you can look at your scriptures if you want to, but he says, we burnt the city. We took the captives. He participated in this. I'm sure there were some of these ruffians with David that said, we are going to kill you now, right? But David showed him kindness. And he said, "Can you show us where they are?" And that kid looked up. I think he realized then, "You're them." He said, "Promise you won't kill me?" He said, "Promise." And that boy takes them to the Amalekites' camp. If you find yourself beginning to slip, if they catch us, encourage yourself in the Lord. We talked about how to do it. Inquire of God. Get in this book. God, what do I need to do? Where do I need to be? Look for people that God's going to put in your path that you can be a blessing to.
Amen.
Because nothing will get your heart. You know, people all the time, we talk about like fasting. Fasting's important. Everyone should learn to fast. And when we think of fasting, we automatically think of what?
Food.
No food, right? Can't eat. God even warned about it. Jesus did his ministry. Like, don't be like, you know, these hypocrites walking around saying, "I'm fasting for God. I'm trying to do this. I haven't eaten nothing in 3 weeks or 3 days, and I'm just trying to be holy." That's not biblical fasting. Matter of fact, if you study in Isaiah, when it's really taught about, it says that fasting, you do this, but then you do things for people. You focus on others and get your mind off of you. And you get your mind on others. And I found it very interesting. And I just want to tell you a personal story here, right? I studied this last week. I'm down in Florida. That was just like my thing I did, was I studied this passage and God was helping me. Man, all this, I was just growing and learning these things. I was so excited. And I was like, all right, I'm heading back. You know, I got camp, then I got my camp, and then we got our summer activities, and got to get back in the swing of things here and get going. I want the church to go forward. Got to handle some things. And so, you know, I want to encourage myself in the Lord. I want to inquire of the Lord some direction. And then I'm on my way back, and I read this, and I studied it. I'm in Friday. I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee, heading north. We stopped for breakfast at this little restaurant that someone told me about. Actually, someone from Scotland told me about a restaurant in Chattanooga. That's crazy, right? And so I was like, well, I got to stop there, right? And it's called Maple Biscuit Company. Oh, but anyways, right? That's a different story. But we're sitting there. And we're sitting outside, my wife and I and my daughter. And this mom and her two boys, they walk by. And the kid, you can tell it's a rough situation. And the two little boys, they looked up at their mom and they said, "Mom, we're so hungry." And the mama filled her eyes with tears and she said, "I ain't got no money, kids." And it wasn't a show. They were just walking. I was just outside and heard them. And I was like, well, that's sad. And then God said, "Egyptians." I said, "Stacy, I'm going to buy them breakfast." She was like, "Okay." I said, "Hey, ma'am, see if you want to step in here, I'll buy your family breakfast." She was like, "Are you serious?" I bought them breakfast. They got biscuits and they ate. Whew, that was an expensive breakfast. but they ate, man. You can tell they were hungry. I mean, these little kids are like, "I'll take two of the plates." All right, you know, but great. They were so thankful. I was able to share witness with them and told them about the Lord. And so we get in the car, we leave, we stop at Buc-ee's to get gas. One simply doesn't pass a Buc-ee's. And so we stopped. I'm getting gas in the car, and we're in Richmond, Kentucky now, and I'm putting gas in the car, and this lady gets out of her car, and she's trying to wave down people, and she's like two pumps next to me. And I'm watching her. She can't speak English, hardly at all, very little. And I pick up a few things. I was like, "Italian?" She's like, "Sí." Yeah. And last year, me and Andy Stern, brother Stern, we went to Italy together. And so I picked up on the Google Translate is a wonderful thing, and, you know. And I'm holding it, and she's dying, and she was out of gas, trying to get to family in Chicago. And God said, "Egyptian." I haven't helped people like that. Not that I'm against it. It's just not a normal thing in my life. A, I can't afford it. B, you know, it's just I don't go around Mr. Charity. All right, I don't. But God had showed me this passage, and now he's saying, all right, let's do it. So my wife went, and she went and got a gospel tract, and she sit there, and she tried with the technology that we have to tell her a little bit about it, and told her about a church in Chicago and wrote it down. You say, did she get saved? No. I don't know what, I just know what I was supposed to do. We got in the car, my daughter Hope, she was sitting there, she goes, Dad, she goes, are you going to help everybody today? I was like, if I have to, yes, I will, all right? And we laughed about it and went on. Then my tire blew. That's right, in my rental car. The tire blew, which apparently when the guy came to fix it, someone who had rented it before me had just ran over something and plugged it himself with some, anyways. That's not the story either. Let's start. Here we go, right? But you say, why did this happen? I've been trying to help people, and here this happens to me. And this guy was just like, where are you from? And I started talking to him, and I was able to go through the entire salvation gospel with him. He get saved? No. He didn't make a profession, but planting seeds, man. Amen. On this trip, everything I've been studying this week, God put it all in action. You know, on the journey, when you get your focus on others and helping others, it will help you to get back where you should be, because our life is about service and ministering to people. We get in our down times when we focus on ourselves and our problems. So if you're really down, start focusing on others. Well, anyways, he travels down, he finds the Amalekites, and they're all sitting there partying with all the stuff they had. Woo! And he waits till the morning, probably so they're all sleeping in or whatever, and David attacks for over 24 hours. He goes, and his few hundred men slays the entire Amalekite army. And they go home with everything that was taken. Not one item did they not get back. Because God promised. And whatever God promises, he always does. I mean, if it was down to a thimble, you know, my grandma gave me that thimble. And they're like, well, here it is. They didn't lose anything. I doubt there was a thimble, but they got everything back. And these men followed. And they encouraged themselves in the Lord. You're about to go home. I hope your hometown's not burning. That would be bad. But when you go home, I promise you this, the devil's going to fight you. The devil's going to try to discourage you. The devil's going to try to get you to quit. Encourage yourself in the Lord when it happens. It's not a matter of if, when it happens. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Inquire of the Lord. Focus on other people. And do the work that God's called you to do. I think David and these men, and I'll just close with this, they went from weeping till they could weep no more to saying, you know what? He's still the same God. We have all the same promises. We've got a good leader, and we've got the mission. Let's go do what God wants us to do. Amen. And with that, young people, it's the sweetest thing on earth. Father, Lord,